Welcome back to Lions Collective. We're live every single week to talk about the Detroit Lions. And today is a special day. It's the schedule release. And, you know, things already kind of get slow burnt throughout the week. But now we have the official full Lions schedule. We're going to talk about that, go game by game, and get into that. But before we start, how are you guys feeling? Schedule release. I mean, the Pistons are already kind of making me upset. I talked about it before. Kern's making me upset. A lot of things, referees are making me upset. But it is good to talk about the schedule. And it's the offseason, so if we could talk about something, it's the schedule. And I'm excited.
This could be your purge session, Jeff. This could be your Pistons purge session. You have any crash outs last night?
Actually, how many? Tony Brothers. I'm glad I wasn't in the vicinity of Tony Brothers. He's one of the guys I almost crashed out on. He probably would have filed a restraining order against me. Which, by the way, all my comments tonight are Jeff Iaffarelli, not Lions Collective. Just making sure I put that out there. But yeah, Tony Brothers, I crashed out on. Jalen Duren, I crashed out on. Even JB a little bit. You know.
Yeah.
You know, JB a little bit, man. And
nobody's safe.
Nobody's safe, but Cade, I mean, even if he turns the ball over, I mean, the guy had 40 yesterday, so it's like, all right, you got to let him slide.
Tony Brothers has a very easy face to crash out on. Let's just be honest.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a pencil hairline. There's a lot of things I want to go at him for, but yeah, Tony Brothers. Man. But enough about me. How are you guys doing?
I like this. This is the Pistons Collective now. I dig it. It brings me back to the start of my journalism career. I got to tell you guys, I got a text today from an anonymous friend of the program. I won't name names, but he goes, "Brother, I need a Lions Collective episode so bad right now because the Pistons and Tigers are just bringing me down."
Yeah.
And so we are apparently the saving grace for at least one individual in the metro area.
We're serving the people.
Happy to provide.
Well, there you go. You got this schedule, by the way. I know we talked about, or at least there's we've been talking about, whether it's on our own social media or other podcasts we do, but just some of the leaked games. But now we have a kind of a full lineup. The Germany game, we now know that stretch of games where, you know, it gets a little tricky just because of like the timing of those games and the traveling and playing. You got Thanksgiving. In my opinion, I know we'll talk about the whole schedule, but I do like the start of the schedule before the bye week. I don't know how you guys feel about the bye week, but we'll kind of dive into all that stuff. But when you guys now see the full schedule, just that stretch of games, the Thanksgiving, Germany, that stuff, is there anything that sticks out to you where you're like, okay, this is going to be tough for the Detroit Lions here, schedule-wise?
So, Jeff, let me flip this on you because, you know, as the fan in the group, I think you might have some interesting perspective here. We're talking toughest stretches here. And I always find it amusing as the schedule gets released, and maybe this is rage baiting a little bit, but like immediately fans jump to like the worst possible thing that could happen to their team. Like, here's the schedule. You got this, like you mentioned, a soft open. I think four out of those five opponents are teams that finished sub 500. I recognize that the Panthers went to the playoffs, but not the most daunting matchup on that list. So you're kind of getting this favorable start, but all anybody is talking about is getting these three road division games down the stretch. And so like, what is it about it that you've got to go find the worst thing that happened in this schedule? Because I look at it and I actually see like a fairly favorable schedule. I mean, we've already talked about it. Top five strength of schedule, favorable. Bottom half of the league and miles traveled, even with the Germany trip. You're opening at home with a softball. Like I said, four of the five with losing records. You got Green Bay after the bye. You've got, you know, two relative cupcakes before that pretty brutal closing stretch. Like, I feel like there's a lot more positives in this schedule than negatives.
Yeah, there is. And I think it's a cakewalk. I love it. I think it's great. I'm not one of those. See, there's
bro, bookmark this.
I think it's a cakewalk. Bookmark this. I like, but here, I'll preface it by saying this. You still have to go out and win those games. I also looked at the Steelers last year as lunch, and that turned into the opposite. Lunch for the Lions defensive line because they ran for 200 million yards. So,
hey, but if you take away those top four runs, it was kind of lunch.
That's true. See, that's true. I learned things after that game. Shout out to Calvin Shepard. But I learned not
still
to
allowed, just for the record, they still allowed in that game, minus Jalen Warren's two 45-yard touchdown runs, more than 5 yards of carry. I'm just going to say here. I'm just going to say here. Get it off my chest.
Oh, honestly.
That's why it's hard when you look at, like, I know fans, there's fans out there. I've already been seeing it. It's like 13-4, you know, 14-3, 14-3. And then I've seen some that just, you know, they're just unhappy. And I'll speak for those fans, maybe the pessimistic fans that are like, this is tough. You know, I've seen 10-7. I love this time of year because people just throw, you know, predictions at the wall and see if they stick. It's awesome because you don't know so many things, injuries. You don't know how these teams are going to look this year. Like the Giants, they're technically a team that was under the record last year, under the projected win total, but they're going to be much better this year. So I try not to pay too much attention to it. I think with you guys, you've helped me kind of, you know what I mean, grow in that sense. But I say all that to say 12-5 Super Bowl win. blowing out everybody. So that's my schedule prediction takeaway.
Skipping right to the predictions.
I'm messing around. I tend to lean more on the pessimistic side typically because, I think people underestimate a lot of opponents. But the Lions got lucky with the schedule. Not lucky in a bad way. They earned it. They missed the playoffs. But I like it for the Lions. It gives them a chance to kind of get back in the playoffs, go out there, win the division, hopefully, and get back to what they were. So. I like it. I really do. I don't care about saying you guys have a cakewalk schedule. I'll take it. You can say it all you want. Okay. I'm rattling off double-digit wins. I'm excited. So screw you guys.
You earned that cakewalk with your record last year, unfortunately. So
yeah.
I do wonder like how much of this fan base is just scarred, right? Like those scars lingering from decades and decades of putrid football for years. Like, even though they've had a really good stretch here under Dan Campbell, like I feel like sometimes like you can't help but show those scars that still exist for, you know, the fans that are older than, let's say, 25.
Maybe I'm a little confused because I haven't really checked like the reaction. Are people like upset with the schedule or what's the deal with that?
I would say every first comment on anything about the schedule is how the NFL screwed them with the 3 road division games in the final 4 games.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where my mind went when I first saw it. It's like, okay, that's going to be tough. I thought that last game, that week 18 game, might be in Detroit when I think that game's kind of leaked early. And I was like, huh, is the NFL really going to give them 3 NFC North games on the road to end the season? So I understand that, but just take care of business the first 2 months. Like, that is set up to at least go. I think you're probably disappointed if you go anything worse than like 6-2 in those first 8 games. And it gives you a chance to kind of stack wins early on. To a point where when you get to that, you know, late November into that late December stretch, like you're feeling pretty good, hopefully, if you can take care of business against teams that you're better than on paper. So if there is some reaction, I guess I understand. I know everyone has to point to like the toughest stretch conversation, but and I know 3 games in 11 days isn't ideal, but I feel like the schedule is pretty nice for them. I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I feel like those games are set up for them to win. So if you're the team you say you are, then go win them.
And by the way, Colton, they got Buffalo in September. I mean, can we at least bring that up? That's a great thing. Continue. Sorry, Will.
No, I mean, and I'm glad you mentioned Buffalo because, Jay Rogers, you were saying fans always imagine the worst-case scenario. Like, if you're a Bills fan, you're probably saying, oh, shit, we got the Lions for the stadium opener? Like, that's not an easy game for them to win when they're trying to christen their new stadium in Buffalo. I think some of the frustration on the part of the fan base might stem from the season ticket holders who feel like, you know, they got robbed of their top home game in the Patriots being moved to Germany. They'll only see their team play at home once in the final 4 games of the season. It is a Monday Night Football game against what could be a good Giants team. But I would understand some of the angst stemming from those fans who are spending a lot of hard-earned money on games that don't feel like they live up to the hype compared to some of the road matchups. So I do understand the angst there, but I agree that they're, you know, they should be 6-2 at the worst, in my opinion, going to Germany. And much like last year, they're probably looking at a 5-1 start. So there are a couple landmines potentially early other than just that Bills game. But I think the Lions will get out of the gates pretty well here.
I think that's a great point, Will. The season ticket holder standpoint, I was thinking about that with the Patriots game as well. Like, that's a super compelling matchup, and to give that to Germany. And I understand you want to grow the game internationally, and there's money to be had there. And feels like every NFL decision these days is on money. But, you know, that's unfortunate for the home fans that can't afford or don't have the ability to make that trip. You know, pretty big disappointment. Go ahead, Colton.
I was just going to say, they have gone 11 years without an international game. So, I mean, they've kind of skated by pretty safely.
If you were putting aside like a couple hundred bucks each year, you got your trip paid for. Sure.
I do want to bring it up because Jeff mentioned it kind of right off the top. Obviously, that closing stretch is daunting. Lions did not have a ton of success on the road in the division last year outside of the Chicago game to end things. But that stretch built around Germany. And as far as I understand it, kind of asked, I think, Rod Wood about it. The team had the option or not of whether to take a bye after the international game. They chose not to, kind of with the flow of the Thanksgiving schedule. But that's
I hate them so much.
I know. I would have really enjoyed a few extra days in Europe. It's not I want very to frolic, often man. I get to Europe. Yeah, no. a little frolic in Zurich. I don't know. Look, you're coming off a road trip in Miami, not a brutal road trip, but a road trip nonetheless. You're going to come back. You're going to practice for a few days in Allen Park, and then you're going to jet over to Germany. I think even direct, it's 9-ish hours. Then you're going to come back. You're going to play a Tampa Bay team that, you know, better or worse, is always tough. They're going to have a motivated Alex Anzalone over there. You know, they're going to give you – yeah, they're going to give you a fight, right? Yeah, like the Bucks always do. They have a great – seemingly a great defensive game plan usually for the Lions, make things tough. And then you roll into a short week with a matchup on Thanksgiving against Ben Johnson, which, you know, say what you want. Like that's going to be a tough matchup. It is going to be every single time these two teams face from here until one of these coaches go. And so that is a really, really tough midseason stretch. And that goes to your point to start the season. Like you better win 6 out of 8 or 7 out of 9 because you know, there's a really good chance maybe you go 1-2 in that stretch because the Patriots are, you know, a daunting opponent. Tampa Bay is going to be tough and Chicago is going to be tough as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the schedule. I tried to come up with my own, you try to dissect the schedule almost game by game, but kind of looking at some of the matchups that kind of intrigued me. And I immediately love Bears Lions. I know they beat them twice last year, but now going forward, it's just the rivalry. I mean, Ben Johnson is always cemented, so it's always going to be great games. But when you guys kind of look at this schedule, look at some of the matchups, is there any games that maybe stood out to you or stand out to you where you're like, they can't afford to lose or they can't afford to drop this game or that game? I know the divisional games mean twice as many, according to Dan Campbell, but is there any matchups you guys are looking forward to throughout the season where you just think the Lions got to get it?
According to every head coach and NFL player ever, by the way.
Yeah.
That might be the most uttered cliche in NFL history. I'm going to kick this off only because I am sitting in the chair and at the desk of the one, the only Dan Miller. I'm here in the Fox News Sports office. Just did the Sports Office Show, which I'm pretty sure you guys have hopped on yourselves. And before Dan left, I tossed him that question. Hey, you've seen the schedule. In your mind, what's the one game they can't afford to lose here? And I had written 3 down, and I assumed he was going to mention one of the 3 that I had on my list, and he didn't. And this is probably more my oversight than his, but he just said, dude, week 1, like you got to go get that game at home when you've got Buffalo looming afterward. And to be honest, I had written down Miami in week 8 as part of that stretch that Jay Raj just described. I had written down the Jets at home in week 3 and then Tennessee at home in week 14 before that brutal finish. But the way Dan said it was like, dude, if you don't take care of business in week 1, like you are staring 0-2 in the face. And then the outlook of the season and the mood in the building can feel very different. That's obviously an extremely winnable game against the Saints and a young quarterback and Tyler Shuck in week 1, and they should win. But once you put it like that, it made me realize like they better go get that game just to protect themselves against the likelihood, I think we can say, of a loss in week 2. But taking one from my list, like you got to beat Aaron Glenn at home in week 3. You just got to get it done. And it's again, possibly or maybe probably coming off a loss. And like, I do think this Jets team can and probably should take a step forward this season with a bunch of like young talent. They just added 3 first round picks in the draft, for crying out loud. But if they do take that step forward, like the Lions in 2022, It probably won't be until later in the year once that talent starts to coalesce. So probably helps that you get them early if it is like a kind of breakthrough year for them. And so, you got to take care of it. And the only thing I would say here, like I mentioned potential landmines early. Every time Geno Smith comes to Ford Field, he seems to put up like 350 yards and 2 touchdowns. So if he's got one of those in his bag with, you know, some pretty good receivers, maybe that game gets tricky. But that's an all business game for Dan Campbell, and one that I think they have to and will take care of.
I think it's interesting you put all the cupcakes on there, and maybe that's on me, just assuming they're givens, you know, and maybe that's a wrong mindset. Like, certainly you don't treat them like that as a player going into it, but like, you know, those are the ones I'm kind of just chalking up as wins. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about a game, I feel like they have to win. That could be a little bit more season defining. I'm looking at that Packers game coming off the bye, right? Like, you don't have any divisional opponents in those first 6 games. I think there's a very realistic chance that they are 5-1 at that point. At worst, 4-2. You should be. If you're not, that's a different set of problems. And you get the fresh legs, right? And you get a team that maybe is getting Micah Parsons back, but maybe you're getting Brian Branch back. I don't know. There's a lot of factors at play there. But you lost twice to the Packers last year. You got them at home. You got them with fresh legs. You've got them with what should be a confident roster that has gelled and built some chemistry through those first 6 weeks through a favorable schedule. And so I look at that as a game like that's a statement game on where you stand in this divisional race. And, you know, if you want to be Kings of the North again, that's the one you got to win.
My question is there a difference between a must win and a can't lose?
Yeah, yeah. I think there is. It's semantics, but there is.
I would almost call probably what Justin described a must win if you're in a divisional race late in the season, but I can't lose. Yeah. I'm kind of leaning with Birchie a little bit, and I actually put the Cardinals down as my team. Yeah. And a lot of the same reasons. Like, I had the Jets, Cardinals, Titans, and Dolphins in a bucket. And the only reason I went Cardinals is because NFC, you know, NFC wins kind of count more towards playoff seeding than AFC opponents. But I mean, I view all those teams as like probably picking in the top 10, maybe the top 5 this year.
Yeah.
So you can't afford to lose one of those. And also, I'll just add this. If Drew Petting loses to the Cardinals in Arizona, some of these maybe Will's co-hosts in Detroit might have something to talk about for the rest of the season. So probably when you want to win just for those reasons alone. But I my mind kind of went towards the maybe more of a must win in that situation. Like, you know, the Bears game in, what is that, week 17, I believe.
Yeah.
Maybe that you could put that in the same category as the Packers in week 18. But yeah, I kind of went with the lighter schedule with that question.
Didn't you hear, Jeff? They're going to be resting their starters at that point, Colton. They're going to be 15-0.
Undefeated.
I just think if you look back on last season, based on what we know about those teams now, like, there were a couple of games that they couldn't afford to lose that they did, and it's probably why they missed the playoffs. Like, take any one of the Vikings game, but in particular the Vikings game at home playing against 9. Like, they had no business losing that game, and they were just getting destroyed by the same blitz every single snap, not to relitigate last season. And then, like, the Steelers game at home late in the year. Like, these were games that you had as clear W's on your schedule at this time last year. And when you drop those games, it just changes the entire scope of your season. So that's why, to me, I had those cupcakes. Like, Tennessee, for example, you better get that game going into 3 road division games in your final 4 and a home primetime game against, again, what probably is a good Giants team.
And when you look at the teams, like, that went from, I guess, worst to first last year, like the Patriots and the Bears, they benefited from their easier schedules, and they took care of business against the teams that they were supposed to take care of business against. So the Bears went 2-4 in the NFC North last year. It did not matter. They won the division just because they beat the teams they were supposed to beat. So I do think there's something to be said if you can stack those wins. And again, it might be a given, but you got to go out and do it. And, you know, there's some games last year they just didn't do it.
Well, before we continue our scheduled talk, we do have to hear from our new sponsor, which, by the way, big shout out to SeatGeek, which get 10% off your tickets if you want to go, hopefully, to Game 7 or go to, if you're in the maybe the Cleveland area, or you want to drive out to Cleveland, go to game Brody. Six. All right, go on to road game for the Pistons fans. You could do that tomorrow. But before we get back, got to tell you about our friends. So I'm going to pass it over to Jeff to tell you about SeatGeek. I've interrupted the video to tell you about a proud sponsor of Lions Collective, and that is SeatGeek. And for me, I like country, and I want to go see Morgan Wallen this summer in Ann Arbor at the Big House. And I got to get out of the house. I need something to do. So I go to SeatGeek. It's got the best deals, and I've been looking for an app to find the best deals, and SeatGeek does exactly that. With over 35 million downloads, SeatGeek is the number one rated ticketing app. There are more than 70,000 events listed on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, etc. And it's very easy to use. SeatGeek has your back. Each ticket is rated on a scale from 1 to 10, so you know what you're getting. And you just look for the green dots. Green means good, red means bad. Plus, every ticket is backed by their buyer guarantee. So use the code COLLECTIVE10 to get 10% off any tickets you so choose. Big shout out to SeatGeek. Now let's get back to the show.
Wow. Yeah.
No, dude, you stuck it. That was unreal.
Who is that guy?
Yeah. Let's get that guy in the collective. I'm pretty sure Panay, Mahogany, Cade, and Tate used SeatGeek for those seats last night. Yeah. I'm almost certain.
I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you got Jameer courtside, you know, right. Eminem, 50 Cent, Amon Ra, Jared, and then you got the big fellas.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, yeah, you got to get the big fellas on the floor here. Yeah. I don't know.
What's going Those on. Seats aren't big enough down there, man.
Sure. Maybe they were in the all you can eat section. I don't know. Yeah,
crushing the hot dogs, Sean Raven.
Before we went on air today, I was mentioned. I looked at SeatGeek last night, saw some pretty good prices for game 5. Real close to pulling the trigger, but just had a little too much going on. Couldn't make it work. Scope game 7 just now. It's not as favorable, but who knows? Who knows?
This is in 7.
Hey, maybe a little birthday gift here, Raj.
Yeah.
Yeah, people, by the way, don't forget Justin Rogers' birthday is coming up here. So yeah, when this is posted, I mean, by next week, it'll already be his birthday. So please comment on the stream. Wish the man a happy birthday.
Yeah,
right? Tomorrow, right? Friday?
It is tomorrow.
Yeah, happy birthday.
It's big time. We'll get to some more matchup talks, and then we'll get to our schedule prediction. I promise you, I do not have them undefeated. I'm just going to throw that out there, but we'll get to that. Before we do, let's talk about it. Some of the best offenses, the best defenses the Lions will face. Assumingly, Lions are going to have a great offense. Defense, obviously, we got to see some more of it. When you look at the schedule, who are some teams that you guys that pops in your guys' minds? Just some maybe tough defensive matchups, tough offensive matchups.
Can I give you guys a sneaky one?
Yes. Yeah.
I mentioned some of the early season landmines. That Carolina game being on a Sunday night makes it much more intriguing than if it was just a 1 o'clock kick at Bank of America Stadium in early October. That's a Panthers team that built, you know, some decent momentum in the second half of last season. I know, as J. Raj pointed out, they were probably the worst playoff team in the field, 8-9, won the crappy NFC South. But this
scrappy.
Scrappy, yeah. I'm tacking S on there. The defense had some decent performances in the second half of the year. They went to Green Bay and beat them. They went to Tampa and had a pretty good showing there. There was another one that popped that's escaping my mind now, but then Derrick Brown is probably one of the best interior defensive linemen that doesn't get talked about enough in the NFL. I think you could maybe make the same case for JC Horn at corner, who's a two-time Pro Bowler now. Maybe this is just like Carolina Panthers syndrome. But those two guys are stars at their positions. And then they added Jalen Phillips this offseason. They added Devin Lloyd this offseason, and like, you can argue with the value of those investments. You can't argue with the impact that those players will bring that defense. And you've got Scorton lining up in year two across from Phillips. And I just think on a Sunday night, for a fan base and a team that's coming off its first playoff berth in 8 years against an established NFC contender, that's going to be a juiced up team. It's going to be a juiced up crowd. And when you look around, like, kind of national rankings at some of the best defenses in the NFL, the Panthers tend to be on that list. And they've come a long way in a couple years. I think a couple years ago, they had one of the worst defenses in franchise history, but there's real talent now on that side of the ball. And I think, actually, just as a preview, I marked that down as a loss just to add some early season intrigue. Like that is not the Cape Cuck, the Cape Cuck, the cupcake that it appears to be when you first hear that the Panthers on the schedule. That is an incredible Freudian slip.
No, you're good. No, Bertie, I don't hate that, bro. I don't hate that because you know, in my write up today for the schedule, like we had a section called like game that's gotten tougher. That Panthers game, you can certainly, you know, file that under game that's gotten tougher with their offseason and even their draft game. Monroe Freeling, we'll see if he's ready to go out the gate. But I thought they had a pretty solid draft as well. If we're gonna stay on this topic real quick, I'll go with the Giants. In week 16, that's obviously sandwiched between all the NFC North games, but man, don't sleep on the Giants, man. I mean, we all know that they almost came to Ford Field and beat the Lions. It took overtime to kind of get that one and pull it out. But the Giants, they've had a great offseason. They hired John Harbaugh. He hired a veteran staff. Matt Nagy, I believe, is the new OC. They went 4-13. I would not be surprised if they kind of turned things around early, at least got maybe in contention for kind of wild card spot in the NFC. I really love their draft. Jackson Dart, Malik Nabers, he's going to come back. Cam Scataboo. So they've got some pieces on offense, defense. They've still got some dudes. So, you know, I kind of like the Giants as a team that can, I don't want to say worst to first because I still like the Eagles in that division, but they can definitely compete for, I think, the seventh seed in the NFC. So that game could be sneaky tough, especially if they figure things out late in the year, playing right after Christmas. So that'd be pretty interesting to me.
I zoned out for a half second there. Did you say Malik Nabers as well on that list?
I did, yeah.
Man, yeah, that offense, I mean, that they punched the Lions in the mouth last year with Wandell Robinson and Jameis Winston. So you add, you know, all those pieces, it's a really compelling matchup. I'm going to state the obvious here. That Patriots matchup is daunting. Yeah. That was one of the best offenses and best defenses in the NFL last year. The defense stays intact. The offense lost a major piece, but look, I think there's probably a real good chance that AJ Brown lands in New England. And if he does, like that might be your measuring stick game. That might be your hopeful Super Bowl matchup barometer, if you will. I just think it's going to be super compelling. And look, I keep looking at the Packers, right? Like, the offense is what it is. They actually lost probably more than they added across the board, but I think they did a really nice job of rebuilding their defense through picking up Hargrave as kind of a scrap heap guy. The trade for Franklin, I think that they, you know, their weakness still maybe is cornerback, and they did a nice job picking up Cisse there in the second round. You know, a real high upside corner that might surprise some people. And look, we're going to talk about Drew Petzing. Well, who's their defensive coordinator now? It's Jonathan Gannon. And so, like, what is the relationship of knowledge to how you game plan against, you know, who has the advantage in that kind of situation? I always find those kind of chess matchups really, really interesting the first time you see, I guess, those guys in new places going against each other after working together for 3 years. And so I think the Packers defense is still going to be really, really formidable this season, especially once Parsons is back in the fold.
Yeah, I mean, that the Packers defense and team at large was who we thought they would be before injuries wrecked their season. I mean, like, the biggest additions they made this offseason, in my mind anyway, are just the returns of Micah Parsons, whenever it might be, Devontae Wyatt, two of their best defensive players, and then Tucker Kraft, who honestly might be their best offensive player outside of Jordan Love. And all of those guys missed good chunks at the end of last season. And I just went back and looked, like, when Kraft went down, they were 5-2-1. When Wyatt went down, they were 6-3-1. When Parsons went down, they were 9-4-1. Then they lost their last five games, including the playoffs against the Bears. So if you get that team back to close to full health, like, they're going to be every bit as impressive and imposing as they were last year. So yeah, I actually think the division comes down to Green Bay and Detroit, and probably comes down to week 18 at Lambeau Field. I think Green Bay will get back to who they were in the first half of last season.
Are we skipping best offense and defense?
No, let's keep rapping. What do you got?
I got something. All right. I'm going to go with the obvious for offense, but I think there are a couple cases, but I did look this up earlier. I'll drop this for you guys. Only 6 of the Detroit 17 contests will come against teams ranked among the top 15 in offensive success rate last season. So only 6 of those 17 games. That's the Bills, Patriots, Packers twice, and Bears twice. Of those teams, the Bills are by far the most efficient. The Patriots were like maybe a tick below, but the Bills were far and away, I thought, the most one of the most efficient teams in the NFL, probably second behind the Rams offensively. They're second in success rate, second in EPA per play, second in yards per rush, second in explosive play rate, fourth in third down conversion rate, fourth in yards per game, and fourth in points per game. And they have an alien at quarterback. So getting that game week two, like maybe you, like I like what Bertie said, how like the Bills are probably mad that they got the Lions in their, you know, new stadium opener. That's not like a cakewalk for them. So the fact that
you mean cake cock.
Yeah, I was gonna say I didn't want to put it out there, but yes, that's what I meant. So the fact that they gotta play the Lions, I'm sure that's not like they're not thrilled about that one. But yeah, that the Lions defense is gonna get tested right away. And man, without a healthy Brian Branch, and we'll see how Kirby is going into training camp in the regular season, but they'll be tested for sure early on.
How can you not think about that 2024 game, right? Like, right. I mean, those Lions were rolling, and the Bills kind of did whatever they wanted. And
with Ty particularly, Johnson.
I was going to say particularly on the ground with Ty Johnson, but you cut me off, obviously. But, like, I mean, it felt like the Lions had no answer for their pulling tackles, for Josh Allen's read option game, his quarterback runs. I think Cook is a far superior running back than he was 2 years ago. Did he lead the NFL in rushing last year? I mean, he was certainly up there if he wasn't. And look, they don't have a lot of great receiving options. I think that's clearly their weakness. They're trying, you know, they keep trying a bunch of different things to patchwork that, but like, as Colton said, they're super, super efficient. Allen makes that thing go. And if the Lions can't figure out an answer on the ground, you know, it's going to be another shootout where you're just trying to keep up.
Yeah. I had written down a few candidates for best defense to play. Like I put Minnesota on there, put Green Bay on there, New England, Carolina, who I ultimately mentioned. And then I started to do the same for best offense. And I was like, this is stupid. It's Buffalo. It's clearly Buffalo. Like I get it. There are other teams that look good last year, including New England, but it's Buffalo and it's Josh Allen. Like they have been a top six scoring offense for the past 6 years. And they just promoted their offensive coordinator to their head coach. Like they should be humming early on this season. And like they add DJ Moore, which was to them, like their missing piece as a receiver. Good luck to Shep's defense on Thursday night in week two. They're in for a real fight in the opening of Highmark Stadium.
I'm pretty interested in seeing what Chicago looks like in year two of Ben Johnson, right? Like we know that offense is demanding and complicated. They lost a super important piece in Drew Dahlman. You know, their Frank Ragnow situation with a Pro Bowl caliber center retiring early. That's going to be a tough one to replace. I don't think Garrett Bradbury holds a candle in that scenario. DJ Moore, who you just talked, landed in Buffalo, number one receiver in Chicago for a really long time. They're going young in Burden, in Adunze, in Loveland. Like they've got these super, super talented pieces, but like, is it going to take that step forward right away? Is Khalif Raymond going to be the glue guy that holds it all together for them now? I don't know, but like, I do kind of expect, I guess, the efficiency to be a little bit better in Chicago in year two.
Yeah, it feels like they're banking on like internal growth from young guys. And, you know, I think year two in a system with Ben Johnson, you can go pretty far with that. So,
yeah.
I mean, even if they're losing some guys like DJ, I think they have the guys like Luther Burden, my guy from Mizzou. I think he's going to step up this year. And they got some pieces for sure.
Hey, Colton, did you pull up similar stats for defensive efficiency? Because I feel like I was looking at like kind of the schedule from that perspective. And it doesn't feel like the Lions are facing a ton of daunting defenses. Obviously, New England's up there. Green Bay, I mentioned, is up there in my mind. Was there anybody that jumped off the page if you looked it up at all?
It wasn't a whole – I think it was probably around 5 or 6, around the same for top 15 defenses, but I can double-check that. But they – again, that's why I'm like – I know people are concerned about stretches, but if you look at the schedule from top to bottom, it's pretty favorable in a lot of ways. For me, with this one, I went with the Vikings just because –
yeah,
I don't care who they lost. You lose Greenard. I know it's going to be tough, but like man, they return a lot of guys that have been playing in this Flores defense for years. And the way I look at it, the Lions have only had success against Flores when Frank Ragnow was playing center and when Ben Johnson was their OC. And as much as we like to hype up Drew Petzing and Cade Mays, we think he's going to be a good fit here. You got to see it. And Flores has just had their number. And I know they weren't fully healthy along the offensive line. You can say whatever you want about the games last year. They were very ugly. Those games were not pretty. I think the Christmas loss, that was the lowest performance of the Dan Campbell era in terms of EPA per play. It was negative 0.4 and offensive success rate at 28.8. And even that week eight loss, which kind of stunned a lot of us, that was their sixth lowest offensive success rate of the Dan Campbell era. So two of your top six worst performances of over a five-year stretch happening against the Vikings last year. So I'm not saying the Vikings are going to be a contender, but they sort of had the Lions number at least last season. So until they prove it to me on the field that they can handle a Flores defense with these new pieces in place, I'm skeptical about how they're going to perform against that team.
Yeah.
See, they lost Grenard. They lost Allen. They lost Hargrave, but
some of those guys weren't even good for them though. I don't know. Like
big citrus.
They had a big citrus.
Big citrus, baby. Come on.
There you go.
And he was their third round pick, and he was the third defensive player they drafted. They went heavy on defense in the draft, spent their first three picks on that side of the ball, including Detroit native Caleb Banks, defensive tackle in the first round, Golday, the linebacker in the second, and then our boy Dominique Orange. So, yeah, I think you give Brian Flores some new, young, explosive pieces to add to that defense. It was already pretty good last year, third in the NFL in yards against per play, and you know, they're poised to create more problems this year. It's a very compelling division. You can make a decent.
We lost one
north. So,
there he is.
Gotcha. Is that golf for a sec?
You're back.
No, yeah. I was just saying it's a compelling division. Like you can make a case for all four teams winning the North this year, and you wouldn't be crazy to do so in any case. So, let it rip, man. Let's get this thing going.
Justin, I did look up the top 15 in defensive success rate from last year. I'm scrolling down. The first team is actually the Saints last year at number six. And I looked this up actually earlier. From weeks 10 to 18, the second half of the season, the Saints were number one in the NFL in defensive success rate. So I don't know what's going on in New Orleans, but that actually caught my eye earlier. So I might have to dig into them a little bit more. But Saints at six, Lions were actually seventh, if you want to believe that. Scrolling down, you got the Vikings at 10, then you got the Bills at 14, and you have the Bucks at 15. So four teams, that would be five games playing the Vikings twice. So only five of your 17 games are against top 15 defenses in defensive success rate last season.
Dan Miller knew something on those Saints. You guys, I had to look it up, and a really familiar name, actually. Do you guys know who the defensive coordinator is in New Orleans?
Off the top of my head, no.
Might be one of those cases where you got a better defensive coordinator than head coach. It's Brandon Staley.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually didn't even know that. Wow.
I didn't either.
Oh, Brandon. Yeah, he's had I just completely forgot about him, dude.
I'm he kind of fell off.
Hey, good for him. Hey, before we get into record predictions and where they stand in the NFC North Division, we have to talk about our other sponsor. It's Prize Picks, which, by the way, I got my picks for tonight's game in about 22 minutes. So I'm going to share those with you if you want to put those in. I did, unfortunately, could not help you guys yesterday because we did not do the show, but I would have told you to fade Durin, so you can always trust Jeff on some of these suggestions. So, like tonight, I'm telling you, Victor Wembanyama, I'm going more on 14.5 rebounds. The guy had, 20 and 17 the other day. And he's doing an amazing things right now in this series. He's a different type of animal. So Victor Wembanyama is a beast, and you're going to want to go more on the rebounds. So I'm going 14.5. De'Aaron Fox, more, 11.5 points. De'Aaron Fox, one thing I like about him, he's very consistent. So you can trust him to get over 11.5, and he's really one of the – even though a lot of guys with the Spurs shoot the ball and score points, you can trust De'Aaron Fox to get his number. And then Anthony Edwards for – no reason really to explain. 26.5 points. I know he's been a little banged up, but I'm going with the Ant Man. So those are my picks. Man. You can, of course, use the code HMA, play $5, get $50 instantly in lineups. And if you're rocking with the Detroit Pistons, I suggest just fade Durin. Anything else? You know, Kate Cunningham, reliable, but just fade Durin. And you can trust me on that. All right, let's get back to the show. Appreciate that. Let's talk about the record prediction and the NFC North finish. Where you guys have the NFC, how you have the NFC North kind of lining up. I guess we'll start with the record, and then you could dive into kind of how you see the division kind of turning out here.
What do you got, Jeff? Jeff. So 17-1.
No, actually, jokes aside, I'm usually the pessimistic one. Lions fans tend to hate me sometimes, and I'll say I got them at 12-5. I got them at 12-5. 12-5, winning the NFC North, and the losses. I think this is fun if I tell you the losses, right? So I'll tell you the losses too. So I have at Buffalo, at Chicago, home versus the Giants, Buccaneers, and then Vikings on the road. So
Sunday night Vikings game. Yeah.
I have them so split with the Bears, split with the Vikings, sweeping the Packers, and then in the division. So you know what? Get out of here. All right. I think they're gonna come back with a vengeance. And I think after the bye week, they're gonna be more than motivated because it's the first divisional game. And I think at the end of the year, it's gonna be Dan Campbell's gonna be like, listen, okay, this team whooped your ass twice last year.
Yeah.
Get this win on the road, momentum for the playoffs. So I think they line up perfectly for it. And, I have them first in the NFC North winning it. Number two, I have the Bears coming in second. And then I'll go Vikings-Packers or Packers-Vikings. I'm trying to decide what I want to do. I will say this about the Vikings, though. I don't believe the Kyler Murray hype, okay? I do not believe it. I think people are gassing up Kyler Murray. I think the Vikings could very well have the same exact wins this year as it did last year and just end up 9-8 again. Or 8-9, 9-8. I think people are acting like he's going to give them 12 wins. If you want to take the Packers, fine. But I have the Bears, Lions, Bears, the top two teams. And really the only two teams I see as like legit threats. The Packers are a good team. I just think with losing Rashawn, you know, and they lost a lot. Like, I think they're going to need probably a year before I can say like they're legit Super Bowl contenders. But yeah, that's how I have the NFC North kind of shaping up there. 12-5 for the Lions.
Thing with Kyler is like he's just inheriting an awesome offense, right? And they just made it even better with the addition of Juwan Jennings. Like you just need competency, and I think when you get Kevin O'Connell in that mix with a quarterback, like you're gonna get you know the better side of the equation in most cases. I you know, obviously I buy Brian Flores. He's done more than enough to get me to buy into him, but like That's the bigger rebuild right there is their defense. Can they overcome the losses over there? Jeff, I'm with you. I think 12-5 is the number. I think 13-4 is the ceiling, but there's always that like one game where you stumble, or maybe it's two games where you stumble and you don't expect it. And you maybe pick one back up where you win that you didn't expect. That's just kind of how football works in the every given Sunday equation. But, you know, I have a tough time seeing them beat the Bills. I have a tough time with that New England game in Munich. But at that point, like I think you're still realistically looking at 8-2 going into that home stretch. And, you know, it's daunting and it's tough. And I get that. But I don't know. It's maybe a weird comp, but I always think about kind of like how Izzo built his final four teams, right? Like it was always these kind of brutal schedules that battle tested his guys. And for as much as we want to talk about like these late season matchups in Chicago and Green Bay, look, the Lions went into Green Bay on the last week of the season where both teams in going into the day, at least had playoff hopes. The Lions were snatched away pretty early in the day, but you know, the Packers were still playing for playoffs and the Lions beat them in Green Bay on the final day of the season. Chicago, the last two seasons, I think December 20th, December 22nd, something like that. And then week 17 last year where they were still playing for something. Like, this is not same old Lions. This is a team that is built to be tough, to withstand the cold. I don't see that as a big concern. I really don't. And so, you know, I don't think they're going to, you know, roll through and win their final four games. I think they're going to, you know, probably run into a wall some point there, but I just don't see that end of the schedule in the same way that maybe some of the fans do.
You're not ready for 2 weeks straight of golf glove discourse.
You'll have to deal with it more than I will.
Colton, take it away.
Yeah, this is gonna be a boring podcast because I got 12-5 too. Sorry, guys. like not much of a difference here, but yeah, I mean, I look at it like the Bears won the division with 11 wins last year, so it could be another one of those seasons where teams kind of beat up on each other and ultimately they're separated by two, maybe three games from top to bottom. But I like what the Lions have done. I think they really attacked their needs this offseason, especially the offensive line. I thought Dan's coaching staff moves were kind of detailed and focused in getting Petsing and Mike Kafka. Those two guys are really going to help the offense, in my opinion. You know, we'll see about the secondary. There's some questions there for sure. But I think the floor of this team, as we saw last year, is probably 9 wins, even with a lot of things going wrong. So between just the ownership they're going to put on this young core, letting some of the veterans walk, I think that could have a boost. They're going to be really competitive in training camp this season. I think they're going to try to get that hunger back from 2021, 2022. And I think the additions they made will probably get them 3 wins, in my opinion. I don't think that's unreasonable. And for the NFC North, I got Lions first. I think 12 probably gets it done. I got Packers second, Bears third. The Bears are a little bit concerned to me because their defense was very opportunistic, and usually that doesn't carry over. And then when you have a light schedule year to year, going from, you know, worst to first, that can hurt you the next year too. So we got the Bears third and Vikings fourth, but I could easily see the Vikings going 9-8 again and being a relatively high floor fourth place team. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think Minnesota is going to be better than maybe we're giving them credit for in this podcast. Yep. I think that their offensive line is going to be this year what it looked like it was supposed to be last year. Like, they had rebuilt that unit into a strength, and then obviously injuries just ravaged it. I think they lost like 3 starters in the first 5 games of the season, and most of those guys are back this year. Obviously, there's a pretty big question mark at center with Ryan Kelly retiring, and I don't want to dismiss that flippantly, knowing how much the center situation undermined the Lions season last year. But I think with Kyler Murray in there in the same system that revived Sam Darnold behind what should be a good offensive line, and with those receivers and a Brian Flores defense, the Vikings could make some noise. Just wanted to put that out there. I have the Lions 3-2 going into the bye. I do think they'll get clipped by the Panthers on Sunday night. I have them hitting their stride going to Germany, 6-2. I think they beat the Patriots in Germany. I think Dan has the guys ready to go for that game. I think there's an emotional letdown coming off of that. I actually see a loss to the Bucs and then a loss to the Bears and Ben Johnson on Thanksgiving. That the Thanksgiving game can just be kind of sleepy. We haven't seen the Lions play their best ball on Thanksgiving under Dan Campbell. I think they fall there. They're 7-4 entering December. They win two gimmies against the Falcons and Titans, 9-4. I think the Vikings get them in Minnesota on a Sunday night, 9-5. They bounce back, Giants Monday night, win that game, 10-5. I think going to Chicago, they'll win that game. And then week 18 for the division at Lambeau, hopefully it's like a wind chill of negative 35. And Jared Goff goes out there in 3 gloves and throws 3 touchdowns. And look who we got joining the pod, dude. What's up?
Oh, no.
And Will pulled his whole headphone out.
Bertie, pull the mic off.
There we are. Yeah.
Okay, he's back. We got you.
Yeah. There we go.
Don't lose. That way we chatted.
You can't afford to lose.
You don't want to be going to Buffalo 0-1, right?
No.
That's all I got. That's
love it.
It's one game at a time, guys. That's not looking down the pike like us idiots.
Is the schedule out?
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah,
we've heard.
The Lions pivot, not putting together some big thing, just the Dan Campbell walk. I liked it.
Yeah, clean, simple.
Yeah.
Delivers the message.
Strictly so business.
What do you got? 12-5, 11-6. Jeff's got 17-1. Already going right to it.
The old Glover Quinn. Any of you there for that, by the way?
What
one?
When Glover Quinn, we talked to him like right after the schedule release, and he's like going through it. He's like, win. He's like, I don't see what we're gonna lose. I think he landed on 16-1. I was like, oh.
That's all amazing.
Right, you didn't see a loss in the schedule.
It's like Waldo and Michigan schedule comes out, right?
Yeah. Dan, is there a game though, in all seriousness, that when you look at this schedule, that you're most excited to either call or to watch unfold? Like, is there a great road radio booth on that schedule? Is there a
the
matchup
bad one? Is Miami? We're like worst booth in the league.
Mm. Ooh.
looked at
just that no one. Cold beer for TJ. Not just not nearly enough.
No, it's just the vantage point is terrible. Yeah. I always love going to Minnesota. That's one of my favorite places to go. Mm-hmm. I think the fans are great. Yeah. The stadium's great. It's an indoor stadium that looks like you're outdoors. You mm-hmm. feel like you watch a highlight from that stadium.
Yeah.
And you couldn't tell that it's indoors. And I think the fans there are great.
It's a Sunday night game too.
You got them losing Tampa Bay, huh?
I do. Yeah, I think a little emotional letdown coming off a big win in Germany.
Did we grade Berchi's picks here? Are we okay with this? I think like everybody else, that closed the 3 out of 4 in the division on the road. I mean, was somebody mad at them when they did that? I mean, that just seems like cruel and unusual punishment to put 3 out of 4 like that. And you backed them all up. I mean, I guess the other point would be you have the first 3 at home, which might give you a boost. But
yeah,
that's definitely a tough one.
So what's your biggest grievance with my picks here? What's the most unforgivable loss on that schedule?
Well, you have them losing to Buffalo. I disagree with that. Carolina?
I know. I think
I was waiting for that one.
I think that defense is going to be better than we think. It's
Carolina?
I think it's a Sunday night game. I'm just saying, heads up. Early, you gotta add some injuries.
Am I supposed to be able to name 3 guys on Carolina's defense that you love at this point?
Jalen Phillips, Devin Lloyd, and the great Derrick Brown.
Okay, so boom.
I rest my case. Oh, yeah.
Looks like he's in the principal's office right now getting yelled at.
Love you guys. Be good.
Appreciate you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
That was great.
So, worthless picks. But I got Lions going to Lambeau, Dan, in Week 18, division on the line, and they win that game to get back on top of the NFC North. He likes the picks now.
We need Kirby back for those arm punts that Love throws.
Yes.
That's where you need Kirby back.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I took the time to look up Chicago's schedule while Will was getting chided there by Dan. I mean, I knew the opponents, but man, this thing is brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, even right off the bat, for their first 5 at Carolina, at Minnesota, at Philadelphia, home against Minnesota, home against Philadelphia, at Green Bay. They've also got New England and Seattle before their bye. They got a game against Tampa. They come out of their bye. They got Detroit and Jacksonville. They close with 3 division games. Like, it's a brutal stretch. I'm going to put it out there. Bears are finishing last in the division. Last.
I don't hate that. They have the 6th hardest schedule by projected win total in 2026. So definitely not an easy one. Not a cupcake.
8-9.
Yeah, okay. The football gods owe him a couple after. Like, come on. You're not getting those wins again.
Yeah, this show's been quiet. This is what happens when Lions Collective's on past like 6 o'clock. I mean, once it turns into night.
This is our after dark episode.
We got Cape Cuck. We got other things going on. Things are flying around, man. I mean, this is what goes on here. Just to recap, we got 12 wins all around. Is this what we get? 12 wins?
I think Will had him at 5.
We all settled at 12 and 5.
Will's got 5.
Yeah. 5-12 Lions coming at you.
Missing the kid. Oh, that's funny. And then the division, I think the only, I guess, similar, but Will higher on the Vikings. And then Justin just says, F the Bears. Shout out to Isaac.
Apparently.
Just put them at the
8-9. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Sweet. Well, special guest episode 2, Dan Miller. Shout out the GOAT. We'll be back next week. Okay. So come tune in. Next week.
Jeff, before we go. So we are gonna have our boy Kyle on this episode.
Good call.
Who runs Dog and Pony Show Brewery. He was going to come on and just give us a little preview of the upcoming events over at the brewery. There is a little conflict, and so he's going to come on next week. But in the meantime, they are celebrating their 5-year anniversary as a brewery, which is a major milestone.
That's awesome.
In that industry, in that field. And so to celebrate the occasion, they're doing like a 5-day party at the brewery from June 2nd to June 6th. They're unveiling a new beer each day. They also just got approved for their small distiller's license. So they're adding bourbon, gin, and vodka drinks to the menu. Basically, just go to Dog and Pony Show Brewery anytime between June 2nd and June 6th, or every single day, and you're gonna have a good time. But Kyle's gonna come on next week and and fill us in on some more things. But, dude, go to DMP, mention the collective. Again, if you drink 8 beers, the 9th is free. You know that. You know that's the rule.
Boy, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah, baby.
Yeah, get in there, man.
Just get in there.
I'm running low on beer, so I gotta go visit Kyle. He's got you could buy the stuff and take it home. Obviously, you don't drink and drive, but when you get home, crack those babies open.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
Do your thing with them. Shout out to Kyle, Dog and Pony Show Brewing. Shout out to the sponsors of the show, and we will catch you guys next week. But until then, appreciate you for watching Lions Collective. Hit the like button, subscribe.